This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. Welcome. We're thrilled to be inviting Rabbi Lapiansky to Columbus. First, want to thank Sonia for making this happen, and that includes the Neshei Hakolo for all the baked goods and setting things up so beautifully. So thank you for that. I'm truly humbled to be standing here to be introducing my Rosh Hashiva. I don't necessarily feel fitting for this position, but the call asked me to, so I wanted to say yes. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, says you should behave baseball, a person should open his mouth. The Mishnah continues a few different, there's also the heavy shosa, the tzames, the reyem, that you should soak up the words of Talmud Chachamim. And when I was thinking for a few minutes of how I introduced it, this Mishnah really popped out to me. The Lapiansky family not only is the force behind Yeshiva Greater Washington in Silver Spring, they also host. Their house is the dorm, essentially. And it's the lounge. It's the safe haven. And whenever anyone needs a place to go up and get a quick snack, at 12 o'clock you go get a midnight snack and go back carry on with life. So this Mishnah was something which the Lapianskis are true embodiments of opening their home to Chacham. And I personally experienced this with a story. My father learned in the Mir Yeshiva, and he's kind of like an independent thinker, likes to be his own person. And in the Mir, most people wear white shirts, black pants, black shoes, typically. My father wasn't so into that, so he had a green kippa, and he wore sandals. I don't know, I think other interesting customs. One of the, I guess, junior staff in the Mir noticed something was a little interesting, and he went over to Rabbi Lapiansky and said, "There's this boy who seems to be an incredibly intelligent person. Seems like something's a little bit off. Perhaps you can bring him in and show him some more. And the rest is history. My father became extremely close with Rabbi Lapiansky. He used to eat there almost every Friday night. And they were chavrusas. And I guess this just a typical example of the Lapiansky's opening their house to the Chachamim, and I just want to segue into tonight's topic. The pasuk says, "Zachor yimos olam, binu shenos dar v'dar," that we should remember the times of old and reflect. "Sha'al avicha v'yagecha, tzekinecha v'yomeloch." Ask your parents of what was, and they'll spill the beans. They'll give you they'll tell you the what was in the past. To me, Rabbi Lapiansky is that chain to the previous generation. His father was a survivor of the Kovno, in the ghetto, and Rabbi Lapiansky personally had very close encounters with many of the great rabbis of the previous generation. And so I think if there's someone who's able to discuss this topic of bringing stability to unstable world, I think we have the perfect person for us.
I didn't expect to find as many people that I know as I found, and many of the COLA members and people in town I've known from before, and it feels very much at home to be with people that I've had so much contact before. So it's special to be here. I'd like to approach the topic through a Gemara. It's always hard to know how much to translate, how much to explain. You either under-translate, under-explain, you just get used to a certain jargon when you're in yeshiva, and it's hard to believe that it's not universally understood. And on the other hand, sometimes people feel that their intelligence is being questioned if every word is translated. So it's a little hard for me to get it right, so don't hesitate to ask something if I'm not, you know, if I'm not explaining or translating, or vice versa. There's a Gemara at the end of Sota. It deals with the things, how difficult things will be in the era when Mashiach will come. And it says, every day is going to seem worse than the day before. It's just kind of a spiraling out of control. In the morning, and it quotes a pasuk, in the morning you'll ask, when will night come? And at night you'll ask, when morning is going to come? And so on and so forth. So the Gemara raises a question. So what keeps the world going? So the Gemara answers two things. Akidusha de Sidra, Vayeheshme Rabbat Agarata. Nominally, the Gemara is looking for, I guess, what merit keeps the world going. And the Gemara comes up with two important items, which don't really seem to us as being the most important items. One is, in the morning davening, in the weekdays, after you say Shemone Esre, after Tachnun, you do Ashrei, there's Lam Natzeach, which is a later addition, and Uvo Letzion. Uvo Letzion is called, in the language of the Gemara, that whole prayer, the beginning part especially, is called Kiddusha de Sidra, which means literally the Kedusha, because you say Kadosh Kadosh, Baruch Vod Hashem, and you do it in a fashion that is sort of organized. You quote the Psukim, you quote the translation to Targum, and you break it up into like sort of paragraphs. That's called Kedusha Sidra. It's hard to see the extraordinary significance of it. It's if a person didn't say Uvo Letzion, it's very appropriate to say Uvo Letzion, but it doesn't count as one of the major parts of davening. It's not like Krishma, it's not like Shmon Esra, it's not like the brachas of Krishna Shmon Esra. It's not even Psuka de Zimra. If a person has to leave out something, if a person is really pushed. So Uvo Letzion is not something which is considered to be a central feature of it. And yet it's called Kiddusha de Sidra, and that's one of the elements. The second one is Yehesh Me Rabba Dagarata. When Kaddish is said at different times, we know of one as Kaddish, but when you learn parts of Torah that is not halacha, there's the Kaddish Rabbanan. That's the especially difficult one. Al Yisrael, Varabanim, Taminatim, Dehon, and so on and so forth. Those are the two things that the world stands on. If we were to looking for merits, it's hard to say that we would pluck these two out. And even after the Gemara has pointed it, it's still hard to figure out what it is. And what brings a pasuk? Shenema, it says, Eretz afasa kimo oifel tzalm, Eretz afasa kimo oifel. It's a country, it's a land cast in extraordinary darkness. Salmoves, there's a shadow of death. Death overshadows it. Veloistarim, and it does not have starim. Starim means structure. Hoyestarim, if there is structure, tofia me'ofel, it emerges from the darkness. So this is almost as enigmatic as the Gemara before. The Pasuk says it is a dark, dark place, completely enveloped in darkness, without any structure. So that's all sort of part of it. It's all one bad thing. And therefore, if you were to provide structure, that would be good. It's a play on the word starim. Kedusha de Sidra is that uvolitzion that we're talking about. And starim is where the Pasuk says. So it's true that Chazal, the Gemara, speaks very cryptically in these type of things. You need to sort of work out what does it mean exactly. It's spoken in metaphor. And we have to try to get a sense of what are they trying to impart. They're talking about a very difficult topic. In the times before Mashiach comes, things will be utter chaos. And how do we keep things going? I just want to add, Rashi says, why is it called Kedusha de Sidra? So Rashi says, Seder Kedusha, it's a format, an organized format of Kedusha. Va'ata Kodosh, Osho Eftilis Yisrael, V'Karzal Zevi Omar, Kodosh, 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 exactly the way we say it. Shalotiknu, the reason why they established it, Shukol Yisrael Oiskim B'Tor B'Chol Yom Devar Muot, the reason why they made that prayer is really that everybody should do a little learning every day. She'omer kriyasi v'targumo, and it's they say it together with the translation, so it's a sort of organized format for everybody to do it. That's what Rashi explains, what the words mean. Why is it called Rishid? But let's try to look a little bit. Let's try to understand the big picture, what they're referring to. And what it means, because it's something that really seems to address an issue. When things are utter chaos, how do we deal with it? So let's start with the concept of choshech, of darkness, that the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk says, Eretz eifasa kmo ofel, it is a deeply dark, it's a land cast in deep darkness. Salmoves lo star. We have a need to be in control of our situation. Whenever a person is not in control of a situation, you feel helpless, lost. It's a terrible feeling. We can deal with things that are difficult so long as we understand what's happening and we feel we have a modicum of control over it. When things are, we just don't get it. When a person is in battle, then, and he sees a lot of enemy soldiers coming, there's fear. But when you hear a mysterious noise in your house at night, you're terrified. The difference is, objectively, seeing 1,000 troops coming is much worse. But at least you have a grasp of the situation, you understand what's happening. When you hear a mysterious noise and you don't know what's happening, that's terrifying because you feel no ability to control the situation. So the primary tool before you can do anything is being aware and understanding, and sight is that primary sense of grasping and therefore being in control. When we talk about a situation that we went in blind, that's what we mean. We say we went in blind, not knowing what's happening. That is most unnerving of situations. So sight, it says, Chacham eina berosho, a wise man has eyes in his head. Uksil b'chosh ha'elech, and a fool blunders around in the darkness. So being able to see and to grasp is the ability to have control. So when the pasuk describes a terrifying situation, it describes utter darkness where a person feels totally helpless. It says by Yaakov Avinu that when he went into Egypt, it says the reason why that portion of the Torah it's arranged in a way that's called sasum, blacked, is because his eyes were darkened by the coming galus. In other words, the worst part of exile, the worst part of being in Egypt, was we had no idea what's going to happen to us, when it'll end, how we'll get out of it. The total darkness is possibly the worst part of everything we went through. That is what's being described over here as the problem. So how do we understand the solution? The key word that the Gemara is bringing out over here is the word sedarim, which means structure. In other words, the pasuk is saying it is a terribly dark country, and there is no sedarim. So let's go back again using the picture we painted of somebody in a dark place. So when a person walks in down a dark street, a dark place, he's very frightened because he has no control. He's no idea what's happening. When you come home and you go into your house and it is dark, because you have an instinctive sense of where things are, and you know your way around, even if you can't see it, you still have the sense of where things are. The structure of the internal layout of your house, unless somebody messed up something, is familiar to you. A person who he's a master surgeon and he goes in blind, but the years of working in this field allows him a certain feel for what to expect, and he doesn't feel as helpless. He's still apprehensive, but not as helpless. Seder means the ability to understand something from its internal structure. A person who is gifted mechanically. So people who are totally ungifted, and I speak from experience, you even when you have an instruction manual and you have a thing to fix, you can be sure that somewhere in the middle you're going to pick up a phone and call one of your kids and say, could you come here and take care of it? That's the one extreme. The other extreme is people who are very experienced and they really have a feel for these things, even if they don't have a manual, there's an instinctive sense of where what should be. And you see it. People, whether it's a car mechanic, whether it's somebody dealing with electronics, I have a sense it's going to be this or this. This is probably for this, probably for that. Because once I can grasp the internal structure of something, where what things are doing what, I can go by that. So the Gemara is identifying that there will come a time when I don't have the ability using sight, and sight in many senses, I can't see what to do. Things are so chaotic and dark and confusing that I can't see what to do, and therefore I won't be able to go with that. What I need to substitute for darkness is sedarim, which means structure and so on. Let's apply it and let's understand more specifically what it's about. Let's take an example. We gave an example of a person with a car and a person not, you know, knowing exactly what the parts are and so on. Our spiritual life tends to be focused around very specific things. There's davening, there's the Shul HaZeminyan, there's a Kiddush, there's a this, there's a that. We've come to identify all sorts of religious experiences, happenings, events, etc. And people build a life around that. If you're an outsider and all you have is what's there in front of you, so when a person davens in a shul, everyone stands up for Shmoneh Esrei, everyone sits down, there's an instinctive, you know what's happening, you see, you follow everyone, and that's how we run our lives. And that works very well as long as we have that, as long as the externalities are constant, consistent, and familiar, we're good. But what happens when that stops being? What happens when you have to close the shuls down for a while? What happens when you have very little activities around? What happens when life becomes topsy-turvy the way it did? So this becomes a big test of how much are we in tune with the inner rhythm of it? How much do we have an understanding of the so-called mechanics of davening? What's the most important part? What's ancillary? What's done in the synagogue just because singing Kel Adon is done because it's very nice? It's not really part of the internal structure of it. You can do fine with saying Kel Adon. But all of these things, the understanding of the mechanics, so to speak, of our religious life becomes vital, because the external cues that we're used to just don't exist. What do we do Seder night? What do we do here? What do we do there? We're just very, very unused to it. And it upsets our religious life. If we have understanding of what's going on, then we're still groping in darkness. It's still not easy, but at least we have a sense that we can relate to the inner structure in it. I believe this is what it says over here. When they saw the darkness of the Galus, they created two things. First of all, they created a structured learning program for everyone. And that structured learning program is called Kiddusha de Sidra. We say Kadosh Kadosh, but in a very structured way. And Rashi says over here, he says, V'kivim shenoag b'chol Yisrael, since this became something that all Jews do, b'talmidim ha'maretz, both scholars and ignorant people, v'yesh kan shtayim k'dush Hashem t'amar Torah, Chavivhu. So you have two items together, and we'll explain what the second point is. We have Talmud Torah, learning, structured learning, and Kedusha, and we'll explain the second what that is. But even the structured learning, the Mashah, one of the commentators explains, they did it by having the learning and the translation. People spoke Aramaic in those days, that was the language of the Jews. So even the people who weren't so familiar with Hebrew, they would understand what it means. So the point was to transition. And I want to pinpoint two areas of transition. The Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, the service and the temple, was the focal point for Jewish religious activity. This sacrifice brought twice a day is called tamid, which means constant. This is the constant, ongoing religious service, and every day that's a holiday had extra sacrifices and so on. We use the phrase tmidim kisidrum, constant, always constant. So religious and divine service focused on prayer, the temple as being the focal point of all of Israel. It says that all of Israel's eyes are focused on the temple, and they are the source. They all look at it, they all see it. And this is the rhythm of where our religious activities was. We all synchronized our religious clocks with the temple service. That's gone. It cannot, that can no longer be our center point. It doesn't exist. So Chachamim had to substitute and find something else. And the most important change, besides the fact that it went from the temple to the shul or to wherever you daven, it went from tefillah to Talmud Torah, from davening to learning. And that was a key transition. I'd like to explain it a little bit in our context. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and yeshivas were just beginning to emerge. The focal point of Jewish community and religious life was a synagogue, and it was beautiful. My father was a shamus in a synagogue, and it was a big, magnificent, still standing. It's a building that was built in 1820, and it had all the trappings that a synagogue could have, and a huge membership, and everything really good. It was not viable for continuation of Jewish life until yeshivas started coming. And the reason is, for many reasons, it's a more prayer, and a synagogue is more visible, and it's very easy to relate to, but too much happens in a person's life. Too much turmoil, too many events, too many questions, too many things. And it's not the basis that you can synchronize religious life to. It's a very crucial part of it, but it can't be the basis. When people started learning, and started learning in a serious way, they began to understand. You began to understand the halachic dynamics of what you're doing. It's not, well, the rabbi said this is okay, the rabbi said this is not okay. You understood. You understood what, and it made sense. You understood in a deeper way what's the rationale behind what you're doing. Why are you doing it? What's it supposed to be? Why is it so significant? I remember we were part of the training of young fellows to become future members of the Orthodox community was to come up Shabbos from our junior congregation and sing from Anim Zmiros through opening up the Aron Kodesh, and you know, it's the whole thing. We started in Enkel Kenu through Anim Zmiros. And I was very shy, and I didn't want in any way want to be the chazan. I didn't have a good voice, I was shy. And the Gabbai was so frustrated with me, and a very nice fellow, but he was very frustrated, and he told my father, Rabbi Sin, he said, how your son gonna be a rabbi if ain't do it ain't kalakenu? Ain't gonna be no rabbi. But understanding the change, understanding from within instead of from without, that's the major shift. We ourselves, in a mini way, the last 2 years, have been that. I think if we were to ask ourselves in terms of religious life, what's the chaos? There was nothing public. There was nothing visible. Our familiar landmarks were gone. And if all we had to go by were those landmarks, then we really, really were lost. If for us religious life is simply what greets the eye, then when the nothing unfortunately was able to greet the eye, then we were stuck. Talmud Torah learning becomes an activity first of all that's very personal, and one can do it in all times. Talmud Torah became something that also helped us understand what all these practices are, understanding it from a halachic point of view and understanding in terms of meaning. And one more key word over here was sedarim. The halacha has The Gemara speaks about being koveya itim Torah, setting aside specific times. So if a person comes to Shemayim and they run the numbers and he learned on the average 3.5 hours a day, that's amazing. But it's random. Sometimes more, sometimes less, sometimes morning, sometimes night, and so on. And the other person learned an hour a day, but it was fixed. That has a certain advantage because he was koveya itim. Creating certain inner rhythms of Talmud Torah provides the starim, the structure that we're talking about over here. I think for all of us, it was an experience that we need to look back. And for myself, it was eerie, not going to shul for so long, doing a seder just myself, my wife. It definitely affected. But if you have an understanding of what's important and why and how, then you still remain, it's like you're grappling in the dark, but you know where things are. You know what to avoid and what to try to latch onto. A place like the Kollel over here, which has come to a wonderful community and helped give so much in terms of infusing this sdarim, this inner structure, is really possibly the best thing a person can do for a Jewish community is to give it that type of inner sidrut kedusha, the inner sense of structure of kedusha. And Be'ez Hashem, I've heard one of the things, seeing people and getting a feel. Be'ez Hashem should go Michael Chal from strength to strength, and this should become the Siddur de Kedusha, the structure, the inner structure of Kedusha, from which darkness will roll back, and God willing will be Zocha to see the Beis HaMikdash in full light and be able to, with two eyes, be able to see all that's light, all that's good in Mitzvah Hashem in Yerushalayim.